Our call to worship today is an odd text, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, and it's in small print, I think, in the bulletin. Ecclesiastes 1, 1 through 11, Solomon, the wisest man in the whole world, wrote this. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work which he does under the sun? A generation goes by and another generation comes, but the earth remains forever. How many of you ever thought that life is worthless? It just goes on and on and on, and nothing ever seems to change. Isn't that right? Look at the next three verses. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets, the hastening to its place, it rises there again, blowing toward the south, then turning toward the north. The wind continues swirling along, and its circular courses and wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, they flow again. It's this, everything's in a circular pattern, isn't it? It just kind of repeats itself, repeats itself, repeats. Is that true? What's our goal in life? To honor and love the Lord your God with all your heart. Let's read on. All things are wearisome, he says. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ears filled with hearing. That which has been is, that which will be. And that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this, it is new already, it has existed for ages, which were before us? There is no remembrance of earlier things, and also of the later things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. So our purpose on earth, even though it seems like, and the wisest man of the world said, things just go on and on and on. And then at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says something very important. Understanding that life is not for us or our comfort at all, not even for our own appetite. But listen to this, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to everyone. For God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for working in our lives. Teach us, Lord, to love you in everything that we do. Teach us to love one another. Teach us to share your love with other people. And Lord, I pray that you will certainly work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3. 2016 is over, and for many of you, you've had a difficult year. You've lost loved ones, maybe financial difficulties. I know for me, 2016 was a challenging in many ways. But I know one thing for sure. I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. So the premise of our message today is simply, are you willing to trust God in 2017? Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me. Did you hear that? Forgetting what lies behind me, but reaching forward to what lies ahead. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
I've heard it. You've heard it. It's time for a new beginning. Time to start a fresh page or paint a new picture with our life. Sounds great in theory, but it can seem impossible. Life is messy. The lines have gotten blurred. Maybe we just don't know where to start. We look at the canvas of our lives and see mistake after mistake after mistake. It's overwhelming. When I look at my life with these messy lines and scribbles, it makes me think, is this as good as it gets? There's no eraser that can make this life make sense. But what if? What if there was someone that could make sense of our mess? They could take all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our missed opportunities, and make them into a masterpiece. And then I remember, there is Jesus. He gives us a new life. Every day is new. Every day is a blank canvas full of possibility and promise. He takes our canvases, our lives that have been filled up with shortcomings, secrets, tragedies, and embarrassments, and He helps them make sense. When I look at the canvas of my life and I see nothing but disorder and chaos, I have to remember this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. And you know what? He wants to take my hand and bring peace to the canvas of my life. So as we seek to make our mark, let us give God all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our hurts, and trust that He will turn our messy lives into a masterpiece. His masterpiece.
Is there a decision to get up and move forward, isn't it? Trust Jesus every day of the year. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this text and for this lesson today that You've given to me to present. Lord, a message for 2017. Work in each of our hearts, we pray. Amen. Psalm chapter 37, verses 23 through 25. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and He delights in His way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. In 2017, we need, I encourage you, to live for Jesus. Live for the Lord, fear God, and obey Him. Fear God and obey Him. John 14 through 15 says, Jesus Himself said, if you love me, you will what? Does anybody know? You will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. There are so many things in our world that draw our attention, aren't there? A lot of things out there that can take our time and grab our attention. I've had many people tell me in the past, and not too far in the past, all the time people are telling me, well, I gave my life to the Lord back there, but something happened in my life that drew me away from Him. And so I no longer follow Jesus. Why do bad things happen to good people? Is the question that I get asked all the time. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, you know what? One thing that I know for sure that I found out, especially in the last probably 20 years of my life, life isn't about me. It's not. So when we get upset at God for something bad that happens in my life, we're mistaken about reality. The fact is that because of sin in the world, not sin in your life, but that's true sometimes, but because of sin in the world, corruption became reality, and pain and suffering and sickness and plagues of all kinds and death. But Jesus came, listen to me, Jesus came to give us life. Life abundantly and life everlasting. Matthew 13, 20 through 23, and it's talking about, it's on the heels of the parable of the sower, talking about a farmer throwing his seed and the seed laying on different kinds of soils, and those soils represent our hearts. Listen to verses 20 through 22, talking about two of the soils. The one on whom seed was sown on rocky places. This is the man who hears the word, be the word of God, and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when afflicted and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, our goal as believers is to be fruitful. But if life's troubles rob us of the word, then the word leaves and we are unfruitful. Psalm 37:29, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell it forever. We don't live in a very nice place, do we? I'm not talking about Winter, South Dakota. Our world, corrupt. And most of you know what I'm talking about. You heard it again and again and again all the way up until November this year. Wars and rumors of wars plague our society. Morality is at its lowest. And the church isn't any better. The church isn't any better. Marriage is not sacred. Gossip, greed, pride. All of these are warned in the Pauline epistles against the church. Dishonest gain plagued the Christian church today. Now, I hope you understand, I'm not talking about Winter, South Dakota. I am talking about the hearts of the church, the universal, the church, those who believe in Jesus Christ. So this year, I would encourage all of you to live a righteous life. Live according to God's principles. And don't let the troubles of this world choke out your faith. Don't let the troubles of this world choke out your faith. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, Paul's speaking. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Do we see that today? Oh yeah. Lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. Abusive. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Without love. Unforgiving. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. Not lovers of the good. Treacherous. Rash. Conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Did you hear that last part? Have nothing to do with such people. Let me tell you a story about your pastor. It's a horrible story, actually. Between 90 and 95, Lori and I are full-time staff at a Bible camp. And when I left in 1995, I said that I was never, ever going to work for another Christian organization. Did you hear that? What did God do in my life? Okay, here's the story. Our director, our camp director, loved to gossip and talk about other people in the worst way. And if you wanted to be on his list of good employees, you took part. Well, that made me just as guilty as him. You understand that? So what did I just read in Timothy? Do not associate with these kind of people. We need to be brave and we need to be courageous and say, you know what, I'm not going to take part in that. Step away from that and live a righteous life. It's a trap. So what do you think if the director is talking to me about somebody else on staff? What do you think the director is talking to the other staff person about? Huh? Me. It's a trap. It goes round and round and round, and nobody wins. By the way, gossip is probably one of the most harmful things that I can think of, especially when it comes to ministry. Leonard Sweet, which is a author that I have grown to learn to love, his writings. I was forced to read his books in the class that you all helped me with this last year. My professor loved Leonard Sweet. First book I read, I'm like, ugh, I didn't like him. The more I read, the more I learned to appreciate the things that he was saying. But I found a quote this week. It was on the Facebook. Reverend Bill Hamill, who performed my mom's funeral service, who I grew up with when I was in junior high. He was my preacher. He had this quote by Leonard Sweet, and I'm like, Leonard Sweet, I know that guy. But he starts out by quoting Booker T. Washington. Listen very carefully to Booker. I will not permit anyone to destroy my soul by making me hate him. And then he goes on. Leonard Sweet says, hatred is never sacred. Christians who speak disparagingly of others with the fake piety of loving hatred, betraying their Lord who loved his haters. Let me repeat this. Booker Washington says, I will not permit anyone to destroy my soul by making me hate them. And then Sweet says, hatred is never sacred. Christians who speak disparagingly of others with the fake piety of loving hatred betray their Lord who loved his haters. Jesus, hanging on the cross, says, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Talking about the soldiers and the Roman people right there in front of him where we're hanging him and accusing him of all kinds of things. I love those people, he says. Don't let hate take your life. Live a righteous life. Obey God in 2017. I'm encouraging you today, really, to step out in faith. Do you remember Joshua? Joshua was given the reins of the Israelite people right before they entered the promised land. Do you remember what God told Joshua? Joshua chapter 1 and chapter 2, five or six times he said some very important things to this person who was just normal. He was a normal person, and now he's going to be leading the people of the Israelites in battle. He says, be strong and courageous. And when we're fighting Satan, because Ephesians tells us that We are not in a battle against flesh and blood. We're not in a battle against other people. So when someone makes you mad, don't go tell other people. Talk to God about that person. Love that person. Live a life that God would be proud of. Galatians chapter 5, if you're following along, starting with verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And most of you know this, but there's a battle inside each one of us. The flesh and the Spirit, they're constantly fighting against each other. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Listen to this. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, listen to this, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty plain to me. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. What did we just talk about? As I warned you, as I did, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. How do you know if you're living by the Spirit? Huh? How do you know if you're living by the Spirit? I know you know the answer. Okay, let me put it another way. Most of you know I used to be a carpenter. How do you know I'm a carpenter? By the work I do. Go and build a house or a roof, or put in a bathroom or whatever. In addition, whatever I did is what I did. That's who I am. If I live by the Spirit, wouldn't there be something to show for it? Like fruit? You know that you are living by the Spirit when you see the fruit in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. Live according to the Spirit. Encourage you in 2017 to live according to the Spirit. So here's how we're to live. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building each other up according to their needs, that it may be beneficial to those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. Just as Christ has forgiven you. Encourage one another with good words. Be compassionate and forgiving, that it may benefit those who listen to you. Amen? Amen. So here it is. In closing, Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. Are you listening? Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God. Especially to those who belong to the family of God. Amen. Colossians 3:12-14. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Amen. Have a great 2017.